Well, I was 19, you were 21. The year we got engaged. And everyone said we were much too young. But we did it anyway. We got the rings for 40 each from a pawn shop down the road. And we said our vows and took the leap now 15 years ago. And we went dancing in the minefields.
That's a great tune. Andrew Peterson, Dance in the Minefields. We've been talking about preparing children for marriage with Josh Mulvihill the past 45 minutes or so. And coming up here to wrap up the show, some thoughts from Jim Burns, who's president of Homeward and the executive director of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family. And we had him on not long ago. We were talking about the first few years of marriage, ways that you can strengthen your I do. And he had some good things to say about just, you know, committing to spend a little time together.
Well, you know, it's interesting. 1% isn't very much time, really. But we ask people, hey, in your first few years, would you be willing to give each other 1%? And people would go, of course, that's easy. And, you know, 1% actually equals 1 hour and 40 minutes. You know, that's not really that much time. But in 1 hour and 40 minutes, you could go on a date. And although Doug and I don't believe this is the, you know, end all, we do believe that we say this when we speak at our Refreshing Marriage conferences, we've never seen couples who date on a weekly or at least a regular basis who end up fading because they're working on their marriage. And a date isn't to, you know, talk about insurance and, you know, the kids or whatever. A date is actually to, you know, really court each other and relate to each other and have serious fun. And for couples who are doing that, if they take that hour and 40 minutes, and it doesn't have to be, you know, they don't have money, that's fine. Kathy and I didn't. We co-opted babysitting, and, you know, sometimes our date, we live by the ocean, so our date might be walking at the ocean. So it wasn't fancy, but, you know, really connecting. And so we challenge couples. That's actually one of the gauges is, are you having serious fun? And so do you still have fun? And, you know, do you date regularly where you really court each other? And every date doesn't have to be perfect, but it's the idea. My wife, I was a busy youth pastor at the time, and that was also Doug. He's 10 years younger than me. He was in my youth group back in the, you know, long, long time ago, so I've kind of done life with him. And we realized that date, we could be busy as all get out, but when our wives knew that we would give them the quote-unquote hour and 40, it's just a cutesy little thing. It could be 2 hours. It could be an hour and a half. But, you know, if we were giving them that time, they seem to be fine with that as long as they knew they were going to get that date and that on that date we'd have some fun. You know, so I think that's a key factor. When I was doing my PhD, I did my my entire, you know, thing was on traits of a healthy family. And what I found was that these traits of a healthy family, one of the main ones was play. So when families play together, they stay together. But also when couples play and have fun together, they stay together. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. And what we're doing, we introduced that in a chapter, which was one of the gauges, laugh daily and date weekly. And again, our assumption is that when couples do that, it works. But again, the truth is that we get serious, we get busy, we get distracted with all the other things of life, and we don't laugh daily with each other, and we don't date weekly.
Well, the next chapter, we sort of touched on it, but it's the problem of busyness, but slow down. I'm just wondering, you know, how do we slow down really? I mean, we're tied to our screens, and, you know, if there's, you know, children that come along early in the marriage, I mean, it's just go all the time. Is there any strategy to really slow down?
Well, I think it takes deep discipline, frankly, because you're right. We are so busy, and, you know, one of the things I had to look in my own life is that, and Doug says this all the time, is that oftentimes busy people are broken people. And, you know, because there's something going, you know, why are they so busy? We can stay busy, but we just have to have the discipline of being able to say no. For me, it was a wake up when I, you know, about a few years into the marriage, Kathy said, I'm not sure I want to have children. And I went, What? You know, our first dates, we talked about children. And she said, well, you're great with everybody else's kids. You're working 7 days a week and most nights, and, you know, I'm really, you know, hurting here. I feel like I'm being left out. And I had to say something to her, Neil, that I'm not proud of, and I want to make sure that your listeners hear the whole thing. I said, I'm having an affair. Now, the affair wasn't with a woman, wasn't with a man. The affair was with my job. My mistress was my job, and it was getting in the way of my relationship with Kathy. And that's not in God's economy. I think it's God first, then our marriage, then our children, if we have children, and then our vocation. And if people can learn that earlier on, so Kathy and I made a decision there. We would, that's when we decided to do the non-negotiable date night. We also decided we would only be out three nights a week, which was crazy. I was out, you know, six and seven. But we decided to take that time and connect with each other. I think it was one of the smartest decisions we as a couple ever made, was to slow down. You know, she used to say to me, we have a Messiah. He's doing very well. You don't need to replace him. She hasn't said that to me for a long time. But, you know, in some ways, I say that now. You know, Homeward's the largest provider of parenting seminars in the U.S. And I say that to soccer moms and hockey dads all the time, because it's kind of the same thing that we do. We just get so busy, so we have to say no. I remember speaking at Promise Keepers Pastors Conference years and years ago, and Jack Hayford, who was a real mentor in my life, said to me after I said to him, you know, what's your secret to leadership success, major leader? He was the what they called the pastor of ceremonies at the Diamondback Stadium, and where these guys were, you know, doing their thing. And he said to me, you know, Jim, it's what I've chosen not to do, not what I've chosen to do. I've had to say no to really important things to say yes to the most important. And I went, wow, the discipline of doing that was phenomenal. But, you know, he just lost his wife recently, and they had a beautiful marriage, and they had wonderful kids and grandkids. And, you know, I've watched his life over the years, and he had the ability to say he was busy and successful in his work and in his mission. But the fact of the matter was is that he said no a lot of times so that he could say yes to the priorities that he felt were the right ones, which would be God, his marriage, his children, and then his vocation.
Talking the first few years of marriage, 8 ways to strengthen your I do. Jim Burns, my guest today. Jim, one of the things that I should talk about is that we discover early on in the marriage that, you know, there are some differences and we have to work through that. And you know, there is that, you know, theory says you can only change yourself. But, you know, we live in a time now where we want to be true to ourselves. So how do we balance those two together?
Well, we have to quit trying to change our spouse, and I'm a expert at that. I've tried to change Kathy for 43 years. And you know what I loved about Kathy, we dated all through college. And what I loved about Kathy, I began to not like when we got married because I wanted her to be more like me. Mm-hmm. But yet when we were dating, I sort of liked that. So what I had to learn, kind of the hard way, was to during those first few years, was I had to learn to celebrate our differences. And that was hard for me. But it wasn't that I could, you know, just simply, you know, try to change her. I mean, I had to really work on myself. And so what happened was, even in our communication style, I had to, you know, I was very defensive, and Kathy also was very defensive. We didn't know how to communicate. But what I've learned over the years, and one of the things we say in the book, is that, you know, communication is a learned trait. So we can learn to communicate better, but we also are going to have to understand that we have to, you know, embrace those differences. I'm an extrovert, so I will have a shallow conversation with everybody at the party, and Kathy's an introvert, so she's going to sit on the couch and have a very deep and meaningful conversation. And then early on, we would leave the party, and I would say, hey, did you get to meet everybody? And she'd say, no, but I was totally innocent. I loved my conversation with so-and-so. But what I was trying to say was, you were rude. You didn't meet everybody. Well, that was my impression. Now, I love that we're at some place and I see Kathy settle up next to somebody. They have this meaningful thing. I've even seen Kathy, you know, take their hands and pray with them and, you know, very, you know, good conversation. And, you know, I get back in the car and go, well, you know, I talked about, you know, we're in California. So, you know, I talked about the Dodgers and the Angels and now the Rams and the Chargers and, you know, life and the church, but it was all shallow. And, you know, that's okay. But, you know, she's had to also learn to realize that, you know, that's me. I'm going to be the one who wants to be, you know, at the party the longest, and she's going to be the one who, you know, I've had enough, I want to leave. And we have to learn to, you know, embrace those differences. And for us, it was finances, you know, key issues of marriage. I mean, finances, even the way our kids did education, the way we approach God. I mean, I do the one-year Bible, and I've done it since 1983, every year, every time. And I just, that, you know, turns me on. I love that. And, you know, Kathy just can't even understand that because she goes, why do you do the same thing every year? You know, she spends her time with God in a different way. So even the way we approach God, you know, is a little bit different. So I can't tell her to do my thing. She's tried it and she didn't think it was, you know, that for 1 year she thought it was really meaningful, and then she went on to something else. So again, we just have to learn to celebrate those differences. And that takes wisdom and maturity and a length of time, but also the knowledge of realizing that, you know, if you what you are attracted to, you begin to attack. And we actually talk about that in the book, and how to learn to appreciate those differences. And when you do, then your relationship is enhanced big time.
Good word from Jim Burns. And we had a conversation with him a few months ago, talking about the first few years of marriage, 8 ways to strengthen your I do. You can hear that full interview posted on the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. And if you want to hear the full conversation we have with Josh Mulvihill, maybe you missed it or want to pass it on to a friend or maybe a family member, maybe your grandpa and grandma, and say, you know, something my kids know they would benefit from this, preparing children for marriage, you can find that on our website as well if you go to myfaithradio.com and click on the Connecting Faith show page.
Or if you're a concerned grandparent, you know, that's another thing you can gently offer this information to your kids.
It is so needed. And these are, you know, challenging times that our kids are growing up in. There's no question about that. Now, I hope that you appreciated the program. We always appreciate hearing from you. By the way, tomorrow we're talking about the most important women of the Bible. You know, God used women in some amazing ways recounted in the scriptures about his plan for humanity. And we're going to hear from Aaron and Elena Sharp, talking about the most important women of the Bible, remarkable stories of God's love and redemption. Of course, the reality is that, you know, God wants a relationship with you as well. Mm-hmm. So find out more about that tomorrow. Joe Bender on Connecting Faith.
You're letting Joe handle that one.
That's right. Okay. It seemed the right thing. Right. Hey, we do want to just mention before we go that our ministry spotlight this month, The Shoe That Grows. It's an amazing opportunity. Kids receive a pair of shoes that actually grows 5 sizes and fit for years. We got details on our website and a link there. Find out more on myfaithradio.com. It's a great outreach, great opportunity. Myfaithradio.com.